I asked Arthur how he had managed to find this strange land, astonished as we reached the end of the dock where a large stone archway laid. A wooden dock transitioned into a dirt road that continued on deep into the midst of the trees. An old friend brought me here many, many years ago, he answered, which is fortunate for me, as this is a land that can only be found by those who already know where it is. I gave him an odd look, as if to say I didn't quite believe that to be true, but I certainly wasn't about to deny it either. I was beginning to accept that perhaps I didn't know the extent of all the secrets this land held. So far, everything that Arthur had told me, and which I had doubted, had proven to be true, and that caused me to question just how much I really knew about anything. So for the moment being, I opted to simply keep my mouth shut. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. As a matter of fact, Arthur went on, there's a small town up ahead, not too far past this forest. My friend lives there these days. We're going to see him. A small town? I repeated back to him. Jesus Christ, people actually live here? How many people know about this place? Arthur sighed. All right, he said. The breakdown's sort of like this. The island has a ruler, a dictator of sorts who calls himself king. You might say he's in charge of everything that happens here. Legend has it this island is nothing more than a mere reflection of his conscious thought patterns, a personal creation entrusted to him by the gods themselves. At any given second, he has the power and potential to drastically alter this landscape in whatever way he chooses. They say everybody who's found this realm has been called by him for a specific reason, and some of those individuals make the personal decision to remain here permanently. Of course, it's also said that nobody enters or leaves the island without permission from the ruler. I held on to every word as my friend talked. You'll understand soon enough if you don't already, he went on. This place just has a particular shine to it, in my opinion, that makes life seem to make much more sense to those who get the chance to witness it firsthand. In my personal experience, a lot of visitors agree that 1 or 2 days here can completely restore purpose and meaning to one's life. I've heard some people refer to the ruler as God, others call him the devil, and others say that he's made a deal with the devil. I don't know about all that, but I can definitely vouch for him that he's a kind man and a tortured soul. Whatever the case, this land is his gift and his curse to bear alone for eternity. There are also rumors that he's immortal, and I've heard with my own ears on multiple occasions that he's over 600 years old. Anyways, regardless of what is or is not the case, I personally feel like he simply shares the same desire any of us do, to have a safe place, a sanctuary where he can live out the rest of his days in peace, quiet, and comfort, and I find it incredible that he's willing to share this miraculous gift with the few others who see the universe the same way he does. I listened intently. In fact, for the first time in my life, I felt as though I was connecting to another human being. I mean, really connecting. It felt like the first time I had really, deep down in my soul, listened to someone speak with passion. Each word was projected on top of years and years of pain and anguish which I could have never fathomed in my wildest dreams, just as Arthur would never be able to relate to the personal struggles and hardships that I had been forced to battle throughout the course of my lifetime. If the circumstances had been any different, I would have disregarded this man entirely as insane. Perhaps we both were. Given the situation we had found ourselves in, I thought Arthur's words seemed pretty reasonable and practical, all things considered. We made our way along the trail, away from the shoreline, and followed it once again back into the forest, except now I felt a new surge of energy and life. I still knew I desperately needed sleep, but I was too excited with the anticipation of exploring this new world, and I felt an immense rush of renewed strength. I was overwhelmed with pleasure, peace, understanding, and intrigue. Within only a matter of moments, I had developed a reborn sense of curiosity and adventure. I thought about how impossible it would be to ever possibly convey this concept of the land to somebody who had never imagined anything greater than their own normal day-to-day routine. In my mind, the only goal that remained at hand for the moment was to explore every square inch of this new world. I didn't care what I found along my way or what it would take, but I was determined. For the first time since I could remember, everything finally felt like it made sense to me again. Just like Arthur had said, I felt like I had a sense of purpose in my life once again. There was no place or time I needed to be but right there, surrendering my fear and placing my complete trust and confidence in my new friend who was guiding me. After maybe another 30 minutes of walking through the forest, I began to see a faint light penetrating through the thick fortress of swaying trees. My heart jumped slightly as my intuition told me that we had reached the edge of the town. Sure enough, the trees gradually began to disperse as the dirt road led forward, through a brief meadow with large rolling hills and lush grassy plains. Maybe 100 feet to the right of our trail lay a shallow river, which twisted and wound through the valley. Our path ran roughly half a mile across the beautiful open land before coming to a wooden bridge in the distance, which crossed the flowing river and led to a civilized culture on the other side. I analyzed the architecture as we drew near the town. "Here," said Arthur, reaching into one of his front pockets and pulling out a stained, folded-up piece of paper, handing it to me. "You can take a look at this if you're interested." I gave it a questioning look as I accepted the piece of paper and proceeded to unfold it to take a look, squinting at it through the setting sun. What greeted my eyes inside the page was a hand-drawn map in smudged black ink of the island. The town rested in the center, and the first thing about it that caught my attention was the way that it had been constructed. It was built in a circular shape with several different levels, and in my mind it struck a remarkable resemblance to a depiction of the seven circles or layers of hell. The first, most outer ring of the city consisted of large, expensive-looking, traditional Victorian-style homes. They were among some of the largest buildings depicted on the map, and as we approached the bridge, I could catch a glimpse of some of these homes closest to the outer wall. They did look extremely prestigious. Arthur looked over my shoulder, trying to gain his own bearings, glancing up towards the town and then back down towards the page. He spoke again, pointing to the locations on the map as he described them. "So, you can see this outer circle consists of the upper-class, wealthier citizens, and as you gravitate towards the center, the overall atmosphere becomes more and more rugged, and the entire attitude of the population becomes that much harsher. Generally speaking, those who've lived here the longest and proven themselves worthy to the ruler are granted permission to purchase the larger, more exquisite houses, and then as you get closer and closer to the center of the city, you'll gradually notice smaller and smaller houses and more services available. Right in the heart of the city is where the marketplace operates each and every day." I studied over the map for a moment before folding it back up. "You can hold on to it if you want," Arthur said, and I accepted, placing it into my pocket. Probably a good idea to have with me anyways, I thought, feeling as if I may need it at any given moment. Finally, we reached the bridge and walked across, leaving our aches and exhaustion behind us with the meadow, the forest, and the lake. It was all behind us now. "Nice to see signs of civilization again," I said, to which Arthur nodded in agreement. Of course, this meant I would be forced to once again get myself centered and collect my own bearings. "So what now?" I asked, as we finished crossing the wooden bridge and found ourselves standing on a cobblestone road, which passed through the city's walls. Behind a line of guards, tall brass gates, which must have stood at least 10 feet high, stretched from the ground to the tops of the wall and had been left ajar. The guards were all in uniform, wearing heavy armor and equipped with large swords. "Well, our first stop is to see my old friend," Arthur replied. "I'm sure he'll be willing to offer us something to eat, and hopefully a place to stay for the night." The sound of those words alone gave me a renewed feeling of hope. I was just about ready to collapse where I stood, and desperately needed a bed. I mumbled something and then continued to follow behind him, hoping we wouldn't have a problem with the city guards, who seemed to be intently watching the two of us approach the gates. Our walk had grown very quiet long ago, and I detected that my new friend was just as tired as I was. I had no idea what the following day held in store for me, but my first impression of this man told me that he liked to keep busy. I felt certain the next day would prove to be another full one, and if I intended to function to the best of my abilities, I needed rest and a chance to regain at least some of my depleted energy. If nothing else, the cool, crisp evening air did feel incredibly refreshing. I breathed it in deeply and felt perfectly at ease with the universe. "Halt," one of the guards ordered, stepping forward and raising his hand, gesturing for us to stop. "State your business at the town of Osmony." "It's me," declared Arthur in a rather pompous manner, retrieving a sheet of leather from the inner pocket of his jacket. I tried to catch a glimpse of it as he handed the page to the guard, but only had the chance to see that there were a series of sentences and numbers embedded within one side of the leather that were in a foreign dialect and unknown to me. "Arthur Wicket, faithful companion and loyal tradesman to the doctor," the guard read out loud, skeptically looking over the scrap of leather Arthur had provided him with. He glanced back up at Arthur, looking him over from head to toe. He then cocked his head so that his gaze was fixated on me. "What about your friend?" he asked, hardly louder than a whisper. "Oh, him?" Arthur played it off casually. "It's his first time here." He trailed off while the guard surveyed me. At this point, I was becoming frustrated and paranoid about whether they would let us through the gates at all. "We're actually on our way to get him acquainted with the doctor right now." "All right," the guard finally broke. "You may enter. Just don't let me catch you causing any trouble." We quickly slipped past him before he changed his mind, and then made our way through the brass gates into the awaiting town. "God damn, what the hell was his problem?" I said, once I had made sure we were out of earshot. Arthur nodded. "They take their jobs a little too seriously sometimes, but you can't really blame them. I mean, the only way for a place like this to exist is with order." We continued along the cobblestone road, past the first, most distinguished and prized series of houses, and into the second row, where Arthur took a right-hand turn. Occasionally, guards or other pedestrians would greet us as they passed by. The streets were lined with lampposts, which flickered with candlelight, and several homes had lanterns mounted outside, in front of their doors or windows, casting haunting-looking shadows across the sleeping community. "We're here," Arthur announced as I was just about ready to collapse from sheer exhaustion under the weight of my own body. I turned and looked at the pathway leading from the road up to the small flight of stairs and then onto the front porch of the large brick two-story house. We trotted up the steps and Arthur slammed the brass knocker against the heavy mahogany door 3 times. After a long moment, I heard a click of the lock, and the door slowly opened to reveal a tall, thin, middle-aged man with long gray hair. "Arthur Wicket," he laughed in an enthusiastic voice. "What the fuck are you doing here at this hour, my friend?" "We just got here," answered Arthur. "This is a new friend of mine," he said, gesturing to me. "Clyde Hightower. Clyde, this is my very good friend, Edward Cole." I shook his hand. "Nice to meet you." Arthur continued, "We met recently over drinks and he informed me he's a writer looking for inspiration. I figured what would give him a better chance at gaining inspiration than from a first-hand experience of this land." The man glared at me with a judgmental gleam in his eyes. I could see it and he proceeded to ask Arthur if he was sure that was such a good idea with crude undertones of disapproval in his voice. "Trust me," he assured Arthur. "I think he holds the proper standard of values to learn and make the most out of this gift." There was an awkward pause for a moment. "Sure," Edward finally acknowledged, yawning. "Whatever you say, it's good to see you again. Come on in." He stepped aside and gestured us into the warm house. Arthur told him we were hoping to stay the night as we slipped out of our shoes and jackets in the foyer. "Of course," Edward answered without hesitation, closing and securing the door behind us before turning and offering to take our coats, hanging them in the closet and then proceeding to lead us down a hallway. "Make yourselves at home. Mi casa es su casa." We both thanked him as he took us to the living room, where a comfortable-sized flame danced from a fireplace in the wall. Chesterfields and armchairs were arranged in a sort of L shape in front of it, with a small coffee table in the center. Our host poured us each a drink and served us a plate of hors d'oeuvres before we all took a seat. The chance to finally rest my legs felt incredible beyond description. I stared into the fire, watching the magical-looking embers glow and the flames dance and jump about. It had been well over 24 hours now since the last time I had eaten anything, and the food brought me back to life. We sipped on our drinks and shared stories for the rest of the evening. Something in me really yearned to ask Edward what had caused him to make the decision to live in such an abstract realm permanently, but at the same time I certainly didn't want to start our friendship off on the wrong note, and I understood that could potentially be a sensitive topic, and by the time I had finished my drink I had already completely forgotten about it. Finally, my eyelids grew heavy and the hour was growing late. Arthur adjourned to the guest bedroom, and though Edward mentioned he had a second one available, I was too exhausted to even bring myself to my feet. He had been generous enough to supply extra blankets and pillows, and in my current physical and mental state, I was passed out the moment my head touched the feather-stuffed silk pillow on the couch.